How many of you believe what we just sang? Did we truly have that kind of God? Well, I got a couple of issues I got to bring. Aaron gave some important prayer issues. And I hope this lets you see. I want you young people to listen to me today. I want you to hear, because I love you guys deeply, but I want you to hear. Okay, I'm going to bring you into my world for just a moment. I want you to know that anything can happen in any minute. That quick, everything changed. Everything in your life be turned upside down. And that's why it is very important. And today, man, people have been receiving God's grace and mercy. They've been listening to Jesus' saving power. And so if you're not saved today, I want you to hear it. Because I want you to hear this reality, okay? This ain't myth, this is reality. You know what I'm talking about? This is reality. One of our brothers in the congregation 6 years ago, he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, I want to tell you, I believe in the cross and the resurrection. We've preached it here for 24 years. It's what makes a difference in your life. Now, some of y'all get a little upset at me, especially some of you over church people. When you come in and you bring me all these issues and it looks like I don't care. There's a reason for that. I don't. Because those issues don't make an eternal difference. And you've been caught on a side road that doesn't matter. And that's real easy to do. I'm not being critical. But let me see what happens. I got a brother right now. And Jamie hadn't texted here in the last few minutes. Has he? Bad? He'd be still alive. He's hanging on. I got a brother that's hanging on. You got a brother in this congregation. He's hanging on. He's 41 years old. You know, young guy like you. He's raising his family. He's got a 3-year-old daughter named Clacy, a wife named Stephanie. A week ago, guess what? A week ago, everything was just okay. Wednesday, he got a blood infection, and he's on a respirator, and he's not doing real good, and it's touch and go. Here's the good news. He came to a church that preached the cross and resurrection, and in his 30s, he realized that Jesus Christ wanted to forgive him and love him and change him, and he received Christ as Lord and Savior, and that's the only hope he's got in this moment. Now, I want all y'all that got all these other issues, I want you to tell me what's more important than that than right now. For all you all that think you want to be great little intellectual theologians and you think that's what it's about, tell me if that makes a hill of beans difference in that man's life at this moment of time. One thing made a difference in his life. As his sins are forgiven because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and he's received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I want to thank you all for being a church that has been open and welcoming to all people. I want to thank you that you don't close yourself off to anybody, because that man hadn't been to church in a long time, and he came to a church where a bunch of people had open arms and not stuffy mentality. You know what I'm talking about, Spiffy? They wasn't all stuffy, buddy. They wasn't pushing him out, but they were saying, Jesus welcomes you in, and today that's the only hope he's got to hold on to. That's what we're up against. Number two, I want you to pray for Josh Tyree. We prayed for Josh a couple times. We're going to pray together as a congregation. Josh, 25-year-old man, got three-week-old daughter, three-week-old baby, son, 3 weeks old. Josh, medical student up at University of Pikeville, brilliant guy, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, grew up, went to U Group, everything cool, doing life. He's 25 years old. He did the right things, but guess what? He's got lesions attacking his brain. And we need to pray that he'd be healed. Those are real deals. Now, do you all understand why the gospel is important? Do you understand when Pastor Steve looks at y'all and gets crazy, my eyes are rolling back in my head, my little ears are going, digga, 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 digga. It's because of this. You and I don't know when we're going to die. But we get a choice in when we want to live. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins allows us to live. Klein, my brother, we've known each other for a long time. Now a lot longer than people think. When I got to baptize you, that was one of the great deals in my ministry. Here's a guy that I liked. But me liking him wouldn't have changed his life. Man received Jesus Christ. He's living a different life. God gave him a different way. It's that important. So first of all, I just want to thank y'all for being here today. I thank you that you woke up on a beautiful day in the summertime and you decided worship was more important than whatever else you wanted to do today. And I thank you for doing that. But I want to pray for Josh and I want to pray for Clay. And we got to be a church that prays sometimes. This is not the fun part of this calling. And there's a lot more of it now than there used to be. And let me give you the truth. Hillview, as we journey together, there'll be a lot more of see you laters. That's just life. But guess what? Because of that, it's going to make us more conscious of hello Jesuses. Amen. That we need to say hello to Jesus every Sunday. And there's people here that need to be saved today. And I pray the grace of God convince you how real he is. I can't save you, man. I can't do anything with that. But I can tell you who he is. I want us to pray for Clay and for Josh that the Lord may heal them. Josh is fighting for his life in North Carolina. Clay is fighting for his life up in Owensboro. So please, somebody don't be stupid and ask Jamie where he was on Sunday and why he was skipping church, because he's sitting up there with a family fighting for a young father's life. That's where he is. Okay, he's not skipping church. He's being church. Now, a lot of times when our pastors aren't here in the regular program, it's because God's called them outside the program to do ministry in that moment, okay? And we're not big on program. We're big on Jesus everywhere, amen? All right, so let's stand together, and we're going to pray. I need everybody to stand up. Even if you're not a believer, go ahead and stand up. God might convince you as you stand up. And we're going to pray for healing. Now, listen, our job is to pray for healing. Is God going to heal him? I don't know. Some of you can stand up and give me absolute God testimony, and it's absolutely true. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God bring people back where the doctor said everything I could do was done, and I've seen God resurrect them. I've done a lot of funerals too. And I'll give you, if you ask me, well, why is that? I'm going to give you my honest answer. I don't know. And I will never know. My job is to live. And so let's pray, and let's pray with faith that Clay be healed. Right now he's fighting for his life. He's not doing good. He started going downhill this morning. Let's pray for Josh that these lesions will be stopping his head. Amen. Lord, I want to pray with this church. Lord, we join the first service, the second service, and now the third service of this worship encounter. And God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would draw us to grace, the strength, the mercy. I pray in the power of the blood of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. And I pray through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is present everywhere. Lord, right now we just ask that you continue to empower Pastor Jamie, that the presence of the prayers of your people, God, will be felt in Clay's hospital room. We pray, Lord, that he might be sustained. He might live on. That Lord, you would call forth a healing in his life in the name of Jesus. May his body be reordered. And Lord, we pray for Josh equally with the same passion, with the same presence, under the same name of Jesus, through the same power of the blood of Jesus, that Josh, those lesions in his head, would be set back. And where this disease is a mystery to the doctors, it could be a revelation, Lord, of your healing. Lord, we just pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you don't mind, before you sit down, give somebody a big hug and tell them you're glad they're here today, will you? I'm glad you're here today. Okay, y'all can sit down. Y'all hug on each other the whole service if we don't get seated down. And that's what I love about you. Okay, now today I want you to go to Luke chapter 24. We're going to be picking up on some principles. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. University students, you are still alive. Finals are coming, though. True? You are alive. You got 1 week of class. And if this is the first week that you have decided to study this semester, don't be asking God to help you, because he's going to say, I thought I'd talk to you in January. You know, but no, hang in there, do well, okay? As a father of universe, well, watch this. Elizabeth doesn't have any kids that are in college anymore. Ours is finishing up college. They're in grad school now, but no college, no undergrad kids. And so, we found that we just prayed for this. Here's the way I prayed for my kids when they're in college. If you parents got kids in college, I said, dear God, May they not study as I did. May they not walk in the error of my ways. May they find your strength. So congratulations to all of you that will be graduating. Congratulations to all of you who will finish another semester. Just want to help you guys out. You have to finish a significant amount of semesters before they give you a piece of paper that says you're certified to go and seek a job. I hope that every one of you are hoping for employment. After graduation, this is a weird thing. It's called an economy. And we all contribute to make things happen. Isn't that neat? I got to go over these things today. People in this generation, bless their hearts, they've been lied to. They think government makes money. Most people in government have never had a real job. They don't produce, they take and reproduce. That's what they do. So we have to have jobs and contributions, and some of y'all are going to be great researchers. Guess what? What if the next cool cell phone comes out of one of these students here? Yeah. Y'all could start the shut up phone. Somebody needs to design that one. You don't want to hear from somebody, you don't got to hear from them. Maybe we need a Jesus phone that just communicates the message of the gospel constantly so we'll know that his presence is where? Here. It's here. It's everywhere. So go with me to Luke chapter 24. Here's what we're going to look at. Three things today. Jesus is always ahead of us. Y'all got that? Jesus is always what? Ahead of us. How many of y'all glad to know that? Well, so let me kind of break it down. I'm going to talk to our university students for a minute. University students, that means this. Jesus has already been through your finals. Now, he's going to see if you're going to listen to what he's got to say when you get there. Power of God's already been given to you. We work under the power of God. Jesus is ahead of us. Y'all cool with that? Jesus is what? Don't forget that. Quit. Watch this. Here's why Jesus says, why do you worry? Why do we worry? Come on, honestly, why do we worry all the time? Listen, we live in the United States of America, folks. We have people that worry full time. We have worried ourselves into a disease called anxiety. Why is there a tremendous amount of anxiety? Now, I have some very professional therapists in here, and we have all kinds of reasons for that. I just want to propose another angle. Could it be lack of faith or misplaced faith? How many of y'all got more faith in what you see than who's with you? Well, we'll see. We're going to talk about it. God's always ahead of us. Jesus is with us even when we don't know it. Jesus is with us when we even don't what? Y'all, just go ahead and tell somebody. He's here. Just go ahead and tell him he's here. Come on, come on. Come on, work with me today. Come on, y'all. Listen, he's here. I'm fired up today. We've had people. Listen, it started off this morning. 8 o'clock, people got saved. When people get saved at 8 o'clock, God's there. Listen, and the folks that received Christ, they got saved without coffee. I mean, it's God. It's all God. I mean, they're there. Okay? When God's been moving at 9:30. We just saw God, the altar full. God's going to save folks today. Now, listen, God is with us even when we're not aware of it. And here's the third thing. God reveals himself. In Jesus Christ, he breaks bread. Now go with me to Luke chapter 24. I just want to give you those three things so you can see them well, okay? First of all, God's about every day, and he's in the everyday. Let me set it up. Here's what's going on. You ready? Here's what's going on. Chapter 24, verse 13. Let's see what happens. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Let's see what happens. God is a God that is with us even when we don't realize it. That very day, the very day that Jesus arose from the grave, the very day of the resurrection, new life, new life, new life, that day, they got two guys walking in a rope. They got to walk 7 miles. 7 miles outside Jerusalem. They're on a road, and they're headed to a village named Emmaus. So they're on a road to Emmaus. If you will, to shorten it, they're on Emmaus Highway. Now, they knew how to get there. I know this amazed you all. They did it without a GPS on their cell phone. They know the road. They know a way. And so here's what's going to be really interesting. The way is going to meet them on their way. Joe, get that. The way is going to meet them on the way. Now, every one of us has a way about us, don't we? If you're from the South, you've heard people say, now they got a way about them. That's usually not good. They got a way about them. Sometimes it depends how you say that. It's like, well, they got a way about them. Now they can be positive, it can be negative, but there's a way, right? And everybody's on a way. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to be on our way. Where are most of us going after we finish this way? Come on, eat. All right. How many of y'all going to go eat? How many of y'all going to go eat? And you don't have to be at a restaurant. How many of y'all going to go eat? You can go eat with your family. You go eat somewhere. You're going to go eat. How many of y'all going to go eat? Okay, good. Good. That's good. How many of y'all will eat sometime today? Okay, good. I'm just checking. How many of y'all never eat? Be careful how you look when you raise your hand during saying that, all right? That check us out. On their way, a man joins them. While they were talking and discussing together, verse 15, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see this. I want you to hold to it. I want you to hear this in the name of Jesus. Jesus draws near to people. Anybody excited about that? Jesus draws near to people. Now, be very careful. Nobody can tell Jesus who he's going to save. Nobody can tell Jesus who he's going to what. Because Jesus will draw near to anybody. That ought to give somebody hope today. Y'all ever felt like Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with you because you just did too much wrong? Any of y'all ever had that other than me? Now, I don't know about y'all. I sinned. I mean, I wish I could tell y'all I was an angel. You know, I wish my testimony said, well, I just stayed in the ways of the Lord all the way through my youth. I stepped in the way of hell a couple times, and hell ran over me. I stepped out. Any of y'all ever stepped out? I mean, stepped out in crazy. Anybody ever stepped into crazy? How many of y'all have ever stepped into crazy? Come on, I'm at 11 o'clock service. This is where it gets real honest down in the tree. I stepped into crazy. Clay, you ever stepped into crazy? What is this? You probably like me. Your mama told you where crazy was, and you stepped in it anyway. You know how much sense that makes? Y'all, how many of y'all have ever walked in the yard of a dog owner? In the yard of a dog owner, there will be some dog exhaust occasionally in the yard, right? Responsible dog owners say, watch that. There's some dog exhaust there. I'm cleaning this up for church. Okay? And how many of you, as soon as you see that way, just run right over to it and just jump right in it? But hold on. You got people that love you that say, man, don't go that way. That's going to be awful. And how many of y'all have gone right over there and discovered it's as awful as they said it was? Girls, I just want to give y'all a heads up, okay? If your grandmama and your mama, whether you get along with them or not, guess what they do? They love you. I mean, they want the best for you. And guess what? If you bring something in the house and both your mama and your grandmama doing this, no! And you ask, Lord, should I date this guy? The Lord's going to go, did you not hear your grandmama and your mama? That's me coming out of them. Because they what? Love you. Note, as we discuss things, Jesus draws near. As we go about our business, that's what this really means. As we go about our business, Jesus brings us his. They were talking and discussing about the things that were happening. And Jesus comes right up, right beside them. And about verse 18, we pick up with Clopas. One of the men goes, then one of them named Clopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that are happening here today? Well, what's happened? Jesus has been crucified. He goes on and tells the whole story. He said, it's awful. Our prophet, the one who's come to redeem Israel, this guy named Jesus, the good man, was crucified, hand handed over by the chief priest. They put him to death. And now there's a rumor going on that he might be back to life. I'm going to ask you all a question. Has Easter, when we celebrate Easter for you, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ a rumor of hope or a reality of your life? Big difference in a brother. You see, we've been risen to life in Jesus Christ. If that be so, then live. That's what I love about you, Barnhart. You're really saved. Even when you make stupid decisions, and you and I have been through a few stupid decisions in a lifetime. We can be that honest, can't we? This offends some people that we'd be honest in church. God keeps bringing you what? To where you really are. You know why? He's ahead of you. How many of you are glad to know Jesus had a remedy? Before you got stupid, Jesus had an answer. How many of y'all are faithful enough? You know, I would love it if some of our leaders just went up to the microphone and said, I'm stupid. I know what I'm doing won't work, but it makes y'all feel better, so I keep doing it. All we do in our nation is delay the inevitable pain of total collapse. Because you know what? You can only do your way so long. Everybody write that down. That one needs to be written. You can only do it your way so what? Long. Now check us out. Clopas telling them everybody. Verse 19 he said. And he said to them. What things? Oh. And he just goes off. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth. A man who was a prophet. Mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Boy has got the news story down, doesn't he? And they just are walking and talking. You mean you hadn't heard of this? Where have you been? This would be like living in Bowling Green and not knowing the problem of sinkholes. Senator Wilson, what are we known for now? Sinkholes. I mean, when you go up to Frankfurt, has anybody asked you how the sinkhole is doing? You Western Kentucky University students, have y'all noticed this? If you're in other parts of the United States and you go, I go to Western Kentucky University, what's the next question? Most of the time it's, where is that? Have y'all noticed that? Like if you're out in California and you got WKU, they don't know what WKU means. I mean, you got that in California. They go, what's WKU? I go, Western Kentucky University, Hilltoppers. Go Tops! And they go, where is that? Bowling Green, Kentucky. Is that place where that big sinkhole swallowed all them Corvettes? That's what we're known for now nationally. So let me give you a description of Kentucky. Racehorses, bourbon, and sinkholes. It's us, sinkhole capital of America. Elizabeth and I were out in Arizona. We were out in Arizona together. We're doing a gig. And they said, well, where are you all from? We said, we're from Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's the place where the sinkholes are. They said, how many sinkholes are there? I said, I don't know. I just know of one that swallowed 11 Corvettes. It's made national news. Now, we got news going on. Does that make sense? There's news going on. There's news going on here. Jesus, he's been crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Now, look, their hearts are broken. We hope this guy would save us. Isn't it tough when you hope people will do a good job and it turns out they don't do a good job? Y'all ever dated anybody like that? How many of y'all? I'm over there checking to make sure my date's still good with where we're heading. No, but I mean, how many of y'all have ever promised stuff and it never came through? It happens. You see, when God makes a promise, it's always going to come true. Look at this. It's always going to be there. But he had hoped that he was the one to do it. Yes. And besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. See, some of you all need to have a third day. I think a lot of you believe that Jesus died on the cross. I think a lot of you believe your sins need to be forgiven. How many of you all even believe you're sinners? How many of y'all believe you're sinners? You see, a lot of people have a hard time believing they're sinners because we don't have sin anymore because nobody does anything wrong because everybody lied to y'all. And since you've been born, they told you you were special. And I laugh, and you ain't special. You get sick just like everybody else. You're going to die just like everybody else. You get anxious just like everybody else. You ain't special. They lied. And so guess what? You and I are chasing a dream of equality and speciality. And on the road of equality and specialness, we are finding hell. Because guess who ain't on that road? Jesus. Guess where Jesus is? Your road. He's right there with you. And guess what he's going to tell you? He's not going to tell you how special you are. He's going to really bring you to salvation. He's going to show you how special he is. They're pretty cool, isn't it? Now, this fries our little brains as humans because we really believe the world's about what? Come on, we really do. Y'all are some weird young people. Y'all are the only young people that have really heard in your generation, it's not about you. You think it's about you. I mean, your whole life is about you. You even take pictures of yourself. How sad is that? We got a generation of people where nobody else will even take a picture of you. Because they're so busy taking a picture of themselves. Used to, somebody else had to think you were important enough to take a picture of you. We'd have a lot less pictures. And let me just help you. Some of the pictures I've seen don't need to be taken. Ain't nobody else wants to see that. You know, now if you won't take it and just look at it yourself, that's your business. But don't show it to everybody else. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going somewhere with this. Why are we absorbed with selfies? You ever thought about that, sister? Kind of crazy, isn't it? Now you and I, you didn't grow up in selfie land, did you? You probably like me. You a Polaroid girl. Me too. Ain't nobody took, back in our day we had Polaroids. Y'all don't even know what that is. It's cool technology. Pictures were an adventure. Picture come out. And it was blank. And it was like you were magic. When you were a kid, your parents would lie to you. And they'd go abracadabra and they'd hand you the picture. And you'd go, I'm going to make that picture appear. And you're watching it and it starts coming to life. But no. Somebody else took a picture of you. Now, here's what I'm saying, guys. Please don't hear me preaching against selfies in a text that I'm anti-selfie. I'm showing you a point. That's how absorbed we are. With what? Self. My proposal is that may be why we're so miserable. And I'm not picking on the generation that's in existence, because you all have been raised by the most narcissistic, self-consuming group of people that God has ever allowed to have breath for over 65 years. They're called baby boomers. And they got one thing on their mind. Them. That's why you went to daycare. That's why you went to your grandmother's house and you know them a lot better than your parents. You remember your parents? You remember those guys? They were stressed all the time. See, we're not stressed anymore. We're now what? God knows the words have changed. We were stressed in the 80s. Everybody was stressed. I'd go to church, stress, 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 stress. We're not stressed anymore. We're anxious. I wonder why. A bunch of stressed people raised children and turned them into a bunch of anxiety-ridden people. Why? Let's repent. You ready? It's not about us. There's a greater author and perfecter of our faith. His name is who, Keith? Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know that as you on your way, you might meet a guy that's willing to rewrite your story? Anybody cool with that? Here's what the resurrection does. It rewrites our story. And we experience the resurrection every day. How many of y'all got up early in the morning? Anybody get up early in the morning? What's the first thing you saw? Light. Light always overcomes darkness. Death. You know what early morning is there for? To show us that death will not conquer. And here you got a risen Jesus walking with two guys that are telling him who he is. Now, don't be too hard on them. How many of y'all tell Jesus who he is? We do it more than we think. You know what? Now, I've gotten a little bit older. Used to when I prayed. In fact, I have to really focus. I close my eyes now when I pray and bow my head just because I get so tickled during prayers. I mean, they're just hilarious. These people that give God a report on everything that's going on down here, like he doesn't know. And then what's even worse is the ones of you that think he needs your help. If I'd been God, I said, let me tell you how you can really help me. Let me take you now. That'll improve the world. How many of y'all the world would improve if you're not in it? By the way, if everywhere you go there's trouble, there's a reason for that. You're it. That's awful when you go in the name of Jesus. But here's what I'm showing you. No matter where you are, somebody's with you. Watch this. Jesus has been traveling with a lot of y'all for a long time. You just never knew who it was. Because Jesus wouldn't look like you wanted him to look. Some of y'all won't listen to Jesus when you find out he's Jewish and not Baptist. Some of y'all are freaked out when you find out that Jesus is not white. He ain't no white boy. He lived in a desert. Jesus would have never had to have been crucified if he'd have been white. He'd have burned up by the time he was 20. He's Mideastern. His dark hair, brown skin, brown eyes. Here's what y'all don't understand, and none of that matters. He's the Son of God. He's not a Jew only. He comes through the promise, that's the Jews, to be the Son of God. And he'll walk with you even when you don't recognize him. Now, this is what's so powerful here. Follow this, Clay. Jesus will be Jesus whether you recognize him or not. See, a lot of us, we can't even get with it till we feel what? You boys ever acted up before? Come on, we in church. So we got a liar and a non-liar. Y'all are boys, you're made to what? Act up. I acted up. Isn't that interesting? Because what? Jesus is there when you act up. He's with us in strange ways, isn't he? These guys walking in and they're saying, the risen Lord's supposed to be with us. And they said, hey, let me tell you what. You think that's something? This morning, with some of our women folk, listen how it says, verse 22. I love the way this particular, the English Standard Version puts this. It's so real. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. Boy, doesn't that sound so typical men? Well, these women, now, we're not sure about it, but these women have come back telling this story. And here's what they said. They amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was what? Ooh. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not what? You know why? They didn't see him because Jesus was too busy looking at them. So some of y'all don't see Jesus. You know why you don't see Jesus? Your story is so loud you can't see him. You're so busy shooting selfies that you can't see Savior. You're so focused on how you feel and what you want and what you need And on behalf of the church, I want to apologize. In the name of Jesus, we lied to you in the 1980s as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. We told you that the church was about your needs. Baloney. The church is about the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad at Hillview that we never bit that lie? I remember I was called by some professional clergy. And they said, Ayers, can you come do a conference from us? And I said, I don't know if I can or not. I don't really get excited about doing conferences. So what's the conferences about? And they said, we need you to come lead a section because everybody's involved at Hillview. You've got so many people involved. So many of your customers are volunteers. I said, what are y'all running? They said, what do you mean, what are we running? I said, I can't do that conference. He said, why? I said, I didn't lie to my people in the first place. I didn't call them customers. I called them sinners. And they go, well, didn't they get offended? Absolutely. That's why some of them got saved. Well, didn't they get mad at you? I said, listen, I ain't preached if I ain't got somebody ticked at me all the time. I'm married, so since that's not impossible. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. These guys couldn't know who they were. It was all about them. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? What, is this story real? Is what the women said really, really what happened? Well, guess what happens? They feel something happening with this guy. And so they said to him, here's what he said to them. Verse 25, look. He said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. All that the prophets have spoken from the very first word of God, was it not necessary that the Christ would suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Everything leads to who? I hope y'all still gonna get mad at me at times, but I hope y'all understand this. It's about Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to stay up on the road. You know why? Be careful. There's a lot of side roads. And there's a lot of side roads that take you away from where Jesus is. Stay off side roads. Travel his way. Now check us out. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to where they were going. He acted as if he was going to go a little further, but they urged him strongly, and they said, stay with us, for it's evening, and the day is now far spent. And so he went and to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And then here's what I love what Jesus does. Guess what he does? He vanishes. How cool is that? Now you see me, now you don't. How many of y'all feels like Jesus vanishes sometimes? That's what Jesus does. He gives you what you need so you can go on with the day. Sometimes you need to see him, and sometimes you need to just believe. Sometimes you need to feel him, and sometimes you just need to just to have faith. But Jesus knows what we need. Amen? Check us out. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn with us while we talked? While he talked to us on the road, while he opened us the scripture, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they went and told the 11. Jesus is real, he's available, and he's alive. Do you believe? Well, let's stand together. We'll see. Anybody learn anything today? Y'all reminded of some things today. God's reality is here right now. Thank you for being here. But guess who I thank more than anybody else for being here today? Jesus. He's probably sitting by you. Hey, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you sitting next to him today. And when I told you you needed to believe, I bet he went like this. Hey, that's you. He's talking to you. And you went, well, no, Lord, not me. I'm good. I've never drank a beer. You know what Jesus says to that? Whoop-a-dee-doo. It's in the scripture. Go look hard. Those are the things that matter? No, this is what matters. You and I have sinned against God. Raise your hand if you know you've sinned against God. People need to see this. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being a participant. Here's why I get you to do that. There's some great people that came in here today, and I promise you, they think you all are perfect. There's some people here today, they think that I am holy because I'm a pastor. Elizabeth, is that true? See how quick that was. In fact, I remember this nice lady, she came up to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was speaking at a conference, and she came up to Elizabeth, and she looked at Elizabeth, and she goes, oh, what is it like to live with Pastor? I'm over here in this conversation. I kind of lean over, and I'm thinking, I want to hear this. I was waiting for wonderful, marvelous, wrong him. You know what she said? She looked at the lady and she said, nothing like you think it is. Because let me tell you who makes you holy. Guess who makes you holy? Jesus. Guess who saves you? Jesus. Some of y'all going to get saved today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving people today. Some of y'all need to be baptized. Let's get this taken care of. Please. We talked about two very tragic deals going on right now, but they're not total tragedies. Boy, I tell you, I'd hate to be right now praying for Clay and I'm wondering if he's saved or not. And I'd hate to be praying for Josh wondering if he's saved or not. Because guess what? I can't talk to either one of them right now because they got respirators in their mouth. Please don't wait to that moment. Don't be that unloving to your family. Fathers, time for some of you in this room to man up lovingly. Your family should not have to wonder about your faith. They ought to know. I remember the day my daddy was baptized. I remember him telling me about his baptism. I remember him talking about Jesus Christ coming in my life. Because that way when you pass away, guess what they can say? I'll see my daddy later. One day I'm going to have to say goodbye to my father. And guess what I get to say to him? I'll say, I'll see my daddy later. He's a believer, I'm a believer. I'll see my daddy later. Now here's what I want you to know. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and your loved ones are in heaven, you will never see them again. You can call on your higher power. And guess what you'll find out? You're living with him. He's called the devil. You can embrace your philosophical, intellectual understanding. You'll see who published a lot of our books. You'll probably meet a lot of the great intellectuals who decided they were smarter than God. Then there'll be some fools like us that decided to believe in Jesus, to believe he died on the cross and he rose from the grave. And the world said we were stupid and fairy tale believers. You know what? I'm going to trust this risen fairy tale all the way into heaven. And I would strongly suggest you do the same. Here's what we got. What Bill Maher says and what Jesus Christ says. I'd go with B. How you know, Rev? Works. Lord, there's people here for the first time that need to have their eyes opened. I'm going to ask you, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, right now, y'all pray with me, sir. People that don't believe in Jesus, their eyes will be open right now. And the first thing they'll see is they are sinners and they need to be forgiven. So, Lord, help them see that you will forgive them. Draw near, just like you did in this story, just like you did in this text today. Draw near to them. Now, listen, if I'm talking, if you hear and listen, ask Him, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I realize I've sinned and I want to be forgiven. I'm sorry for where I've been. I want You to forgive me. Let the Lord forgive you. Believe that He died on the cross and that He's risen from the grave and He'll change you, and it will be. But you got to repent. Jesus has already saved you. You have to repent and connect to His saving power. All y'all that like to send the texts and the tweets that says, only God can judge me, He already has. On the day He was crucified, He judged everybody possible. They gave Him a way of hope. And everybody that rejects that way of hope will experience no life forever and ever. We define that as hell. Don't go there. Come to Jesus. He's drawn near. Amen? All right, God's been good today. How many of y'all glad God's been good today? Amen? Amen, He's been good today. All right. I love y'all. Here we go. In the name of Jesus, I have the privilege, Sean Pugh, once again, Pastor Pugh, we got the privilege of opening up an altar in a free country to preach Jesus crucified and resurrected, Lord of all, Lord of all. And this altar's open. We get to come to pray. You get to come and be baptized. You get to receive new life. I'd take advantage of it while we got it. Amen. I'd come and worship God while we can come worship God. By the way, this is everybody's altar. I don't care where you've been to church or where you're going to church, or if you're a Methodist or Presbyterian or Boxcar Willie or whatever you are. In the name of Jesus, this is your altar. You come and you be with Him. Amen. You be with Him. Come on, in the name of Jesus, let's let God work. Don't stand there today. Come on, guys. It's been a powerful day. Don't let the devil have this day. Come and let's see people get saved. Let's see them get baptized. Let's let God touch them in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, come on.